Chapter 20. The Corrin plan was beautifully simple. A party of woodlanders would set out with haversacks of provisions from a point near to Kater, and Shib was to be given the rations one sack at a time. That way, he could make short journeys to the cell window, passing the food into Gingivere. Abbess Germaine had reasoned it all out. The woodlanders were helping by carrying the food. Chib would not be overtaxed by making many long flights, and Gingivere would secretly share the rations with Ferdy and Cogs. Later, there would be time to mount a rescue operation, but it needed a great deal of careful planning between the Corrin leaders. In the hour before dawn, the two parties sat eating an early breakfast provided by Ben and Goody Stickle, hot scones fresh from the oven, with butter and damson preserve and mugs of cold creamy milk.
Look at these otters and squirrels packing it away. You'd think they was going away nigh on 3 seasons.
Ben Stickle mumbled through a mouthful of hot scone. Goody topped up his beaker with milk.
Listen to the leaf curl and the grass green. You're worse than any of them, Ben Stickle. Just you mind those two little hogs of mine don't go hungry. See they get their rations.
Skipper took the spare scone in his sling pouch.
Don't fret your head, marm. They'll both take on a cargo of victuals afore evening bell.
Lady Amber raised her tail and waved it.
Righto, form up. Woodlanders carrying provisions in the centre. Squirrels and otters forming guard on flanks and scouting ahead. Martin, your party can walk with us part of the way.
The sun was not yet up as they left Brockhall through the still slumbering forest. Both parties stole silently into the trees, waving goodbye to Bella, Abbess Germaine and Goody Stickle, who stood on the sward outside Brockhall. The old abbess tucked her paws into the long sleeves of her habit.
Let us hope that both parties are successful.
Goody Stickle blinked back at her.
Let's hope my Ferdy and Cogs get their proper nourishment.
Bella watched the last of the party vanishing into the thicknesses of moss flower.
Aye, and let us hope that Martin can bring back my father, Boar the Fighter, to save us all and free us from the vermin of Kater.
It was close to midday. Scratch and Clud lay beneath an old hornbeam. All around the troops lay hidden, most of them sleeping soundly. Clud had spotted one or two soldiers and was about to recall them to duty with his spear butt when Scratch suddenly put a claw to his lips for silence and pointed to a break in the trees. The woodlanders marched by the sleeping soldiers, unaware that they were being watched. Skipper strode boldly in the lead, twirling his sling. Some of the otters had relieved the carriers of their loads. They strolled along, conversing with the loam hedge mice. In the middle terraces of Sycamore Plain and Elm, Lady Amber swung from bough to limb with her archers. Scratch and Clud watched the passage of the curious band in silence. Clud hoped that none of the soldiers would waken noisily. He could practically taste reward and promotion. Rubbing his paws together in excitement, he nudged his companion.
By the claw, that lot can only be headed to one place, Kater. Wait till the Queenie is about to see Scratch.
As he rose, Scratch shoved him roughly back down.
Shh! Look over there!
Coming through the trees in a slightly different direction, Martin, Dinny and Gomf marched along a path that would take them due west, skirting Kater on its south side. Columbine had walked with Gomf, but now their paths were to part, and she hurried away to join the others. As Clud watched, he made a mental note to pace Scratch back for banging his nose down into the dirt. Unaware of his captain's displeasure, Scratch listened to the strains of Gomf, singing his farewell to Columbine as she waved to him with a kerchief.
Goodbye, Columbine, now your path and mine must part in the woods of moss flower. Keep a lookout each day, for I'll be back this way in the noontide or cool evening hour.
Scratch cackled, fluttering his eyelids. He picked a daisy and sniffed it gustily.
Ah, isn't that romantic now? The young mouse singing farewell to his sweet... Ouch!
Clud wrapped him smartly between the ears with the flat of his spear blade.
Shut your trap, nitwit. You want the whole forest to hear you? These three aren't going to Kater. Oh no, they're bound for someone else. Now listen, greasy ears. Here's what I want you to do. Take two others and follow them. Don't let them out of your sight. find out where they're going and why, then report back to me.
Scratch rubbed the top of his head indignantly.
Oh, yeah? Go off and follow those three. Who knows where they're going, or how long it'll take. You must think all the acorns have dropped off me tree, Clud. I know where you've been, mate, grabbing all the glory for yourself.
Yes, m'lady. No, m'lady. Three bags for m'lady. I saw them first, m'lady, so I've sent daft old Scratch off chasing the odd three.
I'm onto your little game, weasel.
Clud seized Scratch roughly by the ear and began twisting savagely.
So, open rebellion, eh, Scratch? Now listen to me, you scruffy half-made excuse for a soldier. If I have to report your disobedience to Her Majesty, she'll have you staked out on the parade ground for eagle meat, do you hear me? Now get going, Wormbrain. Here, you two, Blacktooth Ferret and Spitnose Stoat, grab weapons and supplies. Go with Scratch. Jump to it! That's a direct order from me.
The sulky-looking trio skulked off, muttering,
Old bossy boots, Clud, eh?
Ha! How he ever got to be captain, I'll never know.
Take that spear away and he'd fall over flat on his nose.
Aye, Zarmina's pet, the baby hedgehog catcher.
Clud waited until they were gone, then shouldered his spear.
Right, me laddos, up on your paws. We'll take the shortcut north back to the garrison, then my lady can arrange a warm welcome for our woodland visitors.
Clud put the remainder of his force into a swift jog trot. Soon the spot where the three paths had crossed was deserted, as the last soldier vanished into the bright leafy shades of Mossflower. Towards evening, Sarmina grew restless. She had the two prisoners brought up from the cells. The Wildcat Queen was reluctant to admit to herself that she could not get the better of two little hedgehogs. Hunger, she decided, was a great tongue-loosener. Ferdy and Cog stood before her, their eyes riveted to the big tray of crystallized fruit and nuts. Sarmina popped one neatly into her mouth, delicately licking the sticky sugar coating from her claws one by one.
Delicious. I'll wager that either one of you two young'uns could eat this entire tray in one go. Come on now, don't be shy. First to talk a bit of sense gets them all.
Cogs licked his lips, Ferdy grasped his paw, and spoke out for them both.
I'd swap all that lot for just one slice of our mum's apple pie.
Sarmina smiled winningly.
Of course you would. I suppose your mum makes the best apple pie in all Mossflower.
Cogs wiped his damp whiskers with the back of her paw.
Oh, I'll say she does. Hot out the oven with fresh cream poured on until it floats.
Sarmina nodded agreeably.
Lovely. That's just the way I like it. By the way, what do they call your mother?
Ferdy was caught completely off guard.
Goody.
Goody what?
The Wildcat Queen kept up a friendly purr. Cogs kicked Ferdy and interrupted.
Goody, goody. We love our mum's apple pie, and that's all we got to say.
Sarmina scowled irritably and pushed the tray of sweetmeats away.
Guards, take these two little fools and lock them up again. They'll learn what hunger is a week from now.
As they were marched off, Cogs shouted bravely.
Aye, and you'll see how woodland warriors can still behave 2 weeks from now, cat.
Far below at the prison window bars, Chib earnestly discussed the new plan with Gingivere. Gonth was first to complain as evening fell over the woodlands.
Phew! It's a while since I trudged this far, mateys. What do you say? This looks a likely place for the night. Then we can get a fresh start in the morning.
Young Dinny inspected the site. It was a dead chestnut stump, with a small hole between the two main roots.
Urgh! I know this year's gaff. Slept here many a night. It'll do.
Martin crouched as he made his way into the confined space.
Just about enough room for the three of us. We'd better call it a day. Break out some supper, Gonf.
While Gonf set the food out, Dinny scooped loam around the entrance, leaving a small space for observation. The mole had no sooner finished his task when he held up a paw.
Usher now, come by here and look it.
Silently they gathered round and watched as Scratch blundered noisily through the undergrowth, followed by Splitnose and Blacktooth.
Look out, the bogey clad's behind you.
That chance, he'll probably be stuffing his face back at Katia.
Aye, and getting ready to sleep in a dry bed too.
No sign of the mice and the mole yet, Scratch.
It's getting so dark I can't see my own paws, let alone mice and a mole. Come on, let's get clear of this forest while we can. If you reach the road, there's a dry ditch where we can camp tonight.
Hey, Blacktooth, stop scoffing those rations. There'll be none left for us.
Ah, there's plenty. Anyhow, I'm starving.
You starving? I haven't had a bite since breakfast myself. Here, give me that food.
No, I won't. Let go, you big grabber.
Yeah, I'll take charge of that, you two. Gah, you greedy nits. It's spilled all over the place now. You've dropped it.
It wasn't me, it was him. He shoved me, clumsy paws.
Clumsy paws yourself, greedy guts. Take that.
Oh, I'll report you to Clad when we get back.
I'll go and report your mother.
In the hole beneath the chestnut tree, the three friends held their sides in silent mirth, tears running down their whiskers as they watched the antics of the searchers, who fumbled and bungled their way off into the darkness, still arguing and fighting.
Brr, my goodness, Uzzin's been hunted by those hollerheads. Brr, yon vermins couldn't hunt their way out of a shallow hole.
Gonf handed cheese to Martin.
No wonder. Did you hear who their boss is, matey? Old Glud the Clod. He couldn't order his own 2 ears to stand up straight.
Martin put his supper to one side.
Maybe not, but he was smart enough to spy on us without our knowing it. I think we should treat them as enemies. That way we won't be caught off guard. Anyhow, let's get some supper and sleep. We've got a long day ahead tomorrow.
From the window of a high chamber, Sarmina's eyes pierced the night with the keenness of a predator. She saw Clud and his special patrol hurrying to Katir from the north fringes. Then, sweeping her gaze in an arc, she noted the movements at the south edge of the forest. Woodlanders! Sarmina rushed to the table and rang her little bell vigorously. A ferret named Raker came scurrying in.
Quickly, alert the entire garrison. Have them form up inside the barracks awaiting my orders. Tell them to be silent. Send Clud to me. He'll be arriving shortly.
Raker wondered how Sarmina knew of Clud's imminent arrival, but he did not dare ask her how. He held up his thousand-eyed shield in a smart salute.
Right away, milady.
Sarmina peered intently at the band of otters, mice and hedgehogs. She noted the ripple in the treetops. Squirrels, too. This time she had the elements of surprise on her side. She did not intend wasting it. Now they would learn the meaning of the word fear. Halfway down the stairs she bumped into Clud, who was dashing up to her chamber to make his report.
Milady, I have gathered some expert knowledge on the movements of the woodland.
Yes, I already know. Form your patrol up and get down to the main barracks quickly.
But, Majesty, there was a robin flying through the woods, and I told
her... Sarmina wailed upon the slow-witted weasel.
Robin? What rubbish are you spouting now? What do you think I care about a robin? Get out of my sight, you useless lump.
Clud stood bewildered on the stairway as she brushed past. There was no point in trying to talk to Sarmina when she was in one of her moods. The highest tree near the south side of Katir was a stately elm. Chib was perched in its branches when he sighted the woodlanders.
Harumph! Over here, please, and keep quiet. We don't want any eagles waking up.
Skipper threw a smart nautical salute with his tail.
Ahoy there, mate! Is everything shipshape?
Chib paced to and fro upon the branch.
Well, I must say it appears to be, though I have my doubts.
Lady Amber dropped in beside him, and the nervous robin leapt with fright.
Madam! Kindly have the goodness to announce your presence in a less startling manner.
Ben Stickle and the rest were unloading packs of rations at the foot of the elm. Columbine looked upward at the robin.
Do you know, Ben, for some reason I feel as uneasy as Chib.
Ben loaded the packs on the squirrels, who scampered up the trunk as if it were level ground.
Aye, my dear. I know exactly how you feel. I don't like this place one little bit myself.
As if to punctuate the hedgehog's remark, an arrow whistled out of the darkness to stand quivering in the elm bark.
Ambush! Everyone take cover!
Lady Amber called aloud from her vantage point. Immediately, the mice and hedgehogs were screened by a wall of otters. Skipper bounded to the fore, ducking a spear as he swung a sling loaded with several stones.
Over yonder, crew! By those thickets! Give him a rattling good broadside, mates!
Ranks of brawny otters made the air rain heavy with hard river stones. The dinting and thudding of rock upon armour and pelt was mingled with screams and cries from the ambushes. When the fusillade slackened, Sarmina sprang forward, urging her attackers onward.
Charge! Rush them now! Up! Charge!
the soldiers pounded toward the woodlanders, yelling and shouting threats as they waved pikes, spears and javelins. Lady Amber watched coolly. She notched an arrow to her bowstring, as all around her in the high branches, squirrels followed her example. She laid her tail flat along the bough of the elm.
Steady in the trees there. Let them get well into the open, then watch for my signal.
The one or two otters were down with spear wounds. Skipper had heard Amber, and he backed up her strategy.
Otter crew, load up! Don't sling until the arrows are loosed!
Now the Kateer army had covered over half the distance. Fortunata slacked off, dropping back with Ashleg and Clud. Sarmina alone led the field. Confident that the charge would carry the full distance, she turned to yell further encouraging words to her troops. Lady Amber decided they had come far enough. Her tail stood up like a banner as she called,
"Archers, fire!"
The waspish hiss of arrows halted the advance in its tracks, the back and middle ranks colliding with the fallen in front.
"Slings away, hard crew!"
Skipper's wild call boomed out across the melee. A second volley of stones flew thick and fast into the confused soldiers. Now Sarmina was forced back into her own ranks. Furiously, she began snarling out orders.
"One rank crouching, one rank standing. Give me a wall of shields to the front and carry on advancing. Poke spears out between the gaps in the shields. Quick, fools! Fortunata, group archers at the rear. Tell them to fire over our heads into the woodlanders. Hurry!"
Realisation that they were in danger of being under serious attack galvanised the Kateer troops into action. Ben Stickle and Columbine were crawling about, whispering to the non-combatants.
"Friends, help the wounded. Go with them quickly and quietly around the back of this tree. Thormal has arrived with help."
They slid away with Skipper's crew masking their retreat. The soldiers were firing arrows now. They rattled off tree trunks and stuck into the earth, some finding their mark among the woodlanders. The shield-fronted advance moved slowly but steadily forward. Skipper and Amber had coordinated their firepower. After the otters loosed stone and javelin, the squirrels shot their arrows, each giving the other a chance to reload, while keeping up continuous fire.
"Slings away!
Archers, fire!"
Brush and Birch were two big competent squirrels. Following Lady Amber's directions, they swung off toward Kateer's further side, carrying as many ration packs between them as possible. Chib flew with them. All three were silent and unseen by those in the fray below. Clud's bellow urged the soldiers forward.
"Come on, you lot! Stir your stumps, you laggards! Keep pushing on! We'll have them soon! You can have an otter apiece shortly!"
A stoat winced as a rock bounced off his spear shaft, sending shocks of pain through his claws.
"I'll have a mouse on a wounded hedgehog, mate! Let Clud and the Queen tackle those big otters!"
His companion, a weasel, nodded agreement.
"Aye, let them have the glory. We'll be satisfied with the pickings."
Seconds later, he was silenced by an arrow. Lady Amber was beginning to get worried. She called down to Skipper.
"We're almost out of arrows up here, Skip. There's too many of them. We can't stop their advance. It looks as if we've had it."
Skipper's tongue was lolling as he tore off two large rocks from his sling.
"There's nothing for it, Marm. We'll just have to see how many of them we can take with us."